Our company doesn't haul many Arvins, but when we do, when they get off the ship, our machine guns are not covering the tree lines and bushes. They're covering the Arvins, because it's been known they have these VC and with these Arvins that turn around and shoot up the ship. So we don't get so much as around, I'm afraid some Arvins are going to be in some real hurt, because they're going to be the first to go. I was talking with some guys from the 129th, when they haul Arvins, they always have trouble, because Arvins are notorious slow in getting off a ship. When you go into a hot LZ, they just don't want to go. They sit around and storm on the ship, hoping that they won't have to go in. So what they do is they come in the LZ, when they get about 20 foot off the ground yet, each door gunner just reaches around, grabs the first Arvin sitting there, and throws him right out the door, head over heels. And this is usually the cue to the other Arvins that they better get going, because a lot easier to jump and choose your landing area than have somebody throw you out and maybe land on your back. They say it's especially good is try and get the guy carrying the mortar plate. Get over rice paddy, some water, toss him out, right in the old mud. Another thing about this war, it's really becoming picky about ammunition now. Our company's only authorized so much ammunition. That ammunition we cannot touch unless we are being attacked. This means we can't even go out and test fire our weapons. Theoretically, now what we do is we just steal ammunition from elsewhere, and IRR's coming in the ammunition one way or another. But Koreans, we just give tons and tons of ammunition to Koreans. We got a company of Koreans here on force that pull a lot of the guard duty. And they shoot up more ammunition in a week than our companies are going to be allowed to shoot up in a whole year. I just can't see. Vietnam, you can't get ammunition. I just got orders now, I'm the ammunition specialist. And while I haven't still figured out what all this means yet, darn sure I'm going to try and get some ammunition for the guys to shoot around to. Pretty sorry, can't even go out and test fire your own weapon. Another good thing about this war is, I never recall even hearing pops in it, but during World War II, but I never heard of a civilian contractor either. All the civilians over here, American civilians over here, I mean, there's just... Well, I never knew they had such a thing before I come over. But there's just loads and loads of civilians. Civilians almost run the whole airfield on a Quinion, all the maintenance. Got all sort of different companies there represented. These guys are making money, $1,500, $1,800. Even more a month. And once they've been in country 18 months, they get a check from Uncle Sam that has a refund for all the taxes they've paid in the last 18 months. And from then on, they're in a tax-free category as long as they stay in Vietnam. You can't beat a job like that. We got these two civilians here on post that work in sheet metal. Those guys don't do a darn thing. They're not required to. They're just supposed to do modifications on the aircraft. And we never get any modifications like that. So they just sit around, and the one guy, he's bought himself a motorboat for the company, and he fixed that up. And the other guy, he's pretty good. He goes out and works with the fellas. But this other guy, he just reads newspapers and rides his motorcycle around. Go out and maybe does a little painting, a little work, but not $1,500 worth of work a month, I guarantee you. Got, this P&E, I've told you about that. What a sorry bunch of idiots that is down there. I was soaking the government royal on a contract like that. Sit around, do nothing, big plead with them. So one time we had the power fuses on the transformer blow. All the power was off on the line. Well, P&E is less than a mile from here. They called them guys up to come out here and fix this. All it was is a switch was blown on the, up on one of those, telephone poles on the transformer, but none of us really knew anything about high voltage electricity, and we weren't about to find out. So call them up, and those guys would not come out to the next day. For us, our company, the war stopped. Couldn't use anything, any power tool, all the juice was off all over the place. So the next day they come, Bill and Bob out there, go up there, put it back in position. Our shower room here. We only got 3 out of 15 sinks working anymore. Our hooch mates pretty well took care of that. They go in there and throw all sort of junk down the drains. Old razor blades, twigs, and that. Call up P&E and put work request after work request in. Never show up. These guys just don't do a darn thing. I told you about a motor pool, what a sorry job they did on that. And all this hogwash about what an industrious person these gooks are over here, and boy, how they're all so quick to react. Hogwash. You go downtown, and all the shops down in Votan Street, which is the main drag for the GIs, downtown, all them shops are manned by persons of Indian nationality. They're all dark skinned. There's not one gook running a shop down there. In fact, I think, well, it's accepted opinion, most of the gooks around here are either VC cowboys or black marketeers. You go down Quinyon, and there's hundreds of guys riding their motorcycles around. The Vietnamese have not even begun to tap their resources for manpower yet for their army. They could draft another million just overnight. These guys, I said, if they're not VC cowboys, they're hoodlums. They ride their motorcycles around. They're always out after GIs. And kind of have to watch out for them. They usually don't carry any guns, but got knives. And the MPs, I think, are on their side. I had one of my gunners downtown. You cannot carry a pistol or a long knife, a sheath knife, on you. Because that's considered a concealed weapon. He was riding a cab, a little Lambretta cab. When he got done, pulled out his wallet to pay the driver. And the driver reached over and grabbed a $10 bill out of his wallet. So they scuffled over this thing for a while, and the bill broke in half. Whereupon this gook offered to sell his half for a dollar. And my gunner, he just reached over and grabbed a guy by the collar and smacked him in the face a couple of times. And this guy whipped out a switchblade on him. So my gunner, he was carrying a sheath knife, a survival knife, whipped it out. MP came up and arrested my buddy for carrying a concealed weapon. And it's not my idea of justice. Every now and then, cowboys get kicked, though. We had one guy, he was down in the train, and they had a couple of their newbies get beat up when they came in country, a couple of cowboys downtown. So they went downtown looking for him, put on newbie uniforms. That's a fresh, clean set of fatigues, no patches or rank. Put a couple 38s in their shirts. And they had a guy following them. They were in radio contact with a Jeep with a machine gun. And they found these guys. They walked deliberately right into an ambush whereupon the cowboys surrounded them, demanded money. They pulled out their pistols and shot the first two guys, and they had the Jeep come around and machine gun the rest of them. Like I said, I don't trust any of the Vietnamese, whether they're wearing a uniform or captain's bars or civilian dress.